Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Riley Auk, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Dancing down the sidelines! Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly! There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And this is the best college sports broadcast in America. That is The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Yauch, and we have a lot to get into today, including Nick Osten joining us later in the show. So hello to the YouTube audience here. You also can listen back with the Wisconsin ESPN Wisconsin app. And Riley, the big news that's not directly tied to the Wisconsin Badgers, but that's Brendan Sorsby, Texas Tech's quarterback, was granted an injunction versus the NCAA, now eligible to play in the 2026 season despite being ruled ineligible by the NCAA for wagering on college sports. Mm-hmm. So my big takeaway is the courts, not the NCAA, run college athletics.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. Like, this just proves what we already knew about the NCAA at this stage in the year 2026, that it has absolutely zero teeth anymore. Like, this is something, and this is one of the rare occasions where I'm with the NCAA wholeheartedly. I think they nailed it with their decision. He should be suspended for the, he should be ruled ineligible for the rest of his college career. Like, you cannot bet $90,000 throughout your time in school. 9,000 bets were placed at least. Like, this just, this compromises the integrity of the game. Like, this is the biggest no-no you could possibly commit as an athlete in general. At, like, the whole premise of sport is based on fairness and justice, and this totally undermines it. And then you have this judge that's either paid off by Texas Tech or super friendly, regardless, because I don't know how.
Here's how. The NCAA has no power. It's in our rundown. The NCAA is powerless. This is all a fugazi. It's all just made up. And I think every time, that's why the courts run this now, which really means it's the Wild West. There are no rules. I mean, what rules, after the payment was forced, like as far as how the NCAA wanted to do things before, after that was all blown up through that Supreme Court decision.
Yep.
There's nothing to exist. And I remember, not to bring up a sore name here, but Chris McIntosh, when this all happened, spoke to some people at like a networking event around Madison, and he was talking about how the only way there's really going to be rules at some point is if there is a representation from the colleges and the players, so a union for the players. They talk, they negotiate something, and they sign their own collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. That still doesn't exist. So the NCAA is, it's just a facade. It's all a fugazi. There's really nothing there. So I don't blame the judge, because the judge is going to look at it and say, there's no there. Like, there's no reason you can enforce any of these.
Yeah, I don't know how, but the judge's rationale was, and I wrote this down, I quote, "It would cause probable, imminent, irreparable harm to Sorsby because he can't play football and properly prepare for the NFL draft, and it would hurt Texas Tech football." Like, what are we doing? Like, that is ridiculous. That is the softest reason you could possibly come up with. Iowa had a defensive lineman deemed ineligible for his entire season. His senior year was taken away from him because he bet $10 on Iowa women's basketball. He felt bad, self-reported, and the NCAA came down. And then, since Iowa, similar to Wisconsin, they wanted to do the right thing.
Right,
they wanted to be in the right.
That's your flaw.
And they accepted the punishment. When this shows Wisconsin should have never never accepted anything. And you know who I feel bad for the most is Nysir Fourcarine. Mm-hmm. He had a legitimate excuse. This whole thing, this Sorsby issue, makes a mockery of mental health issues too, claiming he has a gambling addiction. Oh, it's mental health. Oh, it's mental health. He should be able to play. It's going to hurt him. Nysir Fourcarine's father died. Which is why he didn't play nearly as much in his first year in Division II, Grand Valley State. Like, that's real.
Yep.
That's real. And he wasn't allowed to play by the NCAA. The judge wouldn't grant him an injunction. Like, it's,
you know,
just
what the Badgers
ridiculous.
Should have done, though, and I hate to say it like this, is just play him. They should have just played him. What mm-hmm. was going to happen?
That's the, yeah.
That, this is the thing, and we were joking about when it happened. Just play him. Why are the Badgers or Iowa mm-hmm. or anyone else trying to color with inside the lines anymore?
There's no reason to.
There's no lines. It's really self-governed. What do you feel comfortable with? Mm-hmm. And Badger fans would have felt comfortable with Fourcarine playing. Why not? This is a stupid arbitrary rule. And this is the way that I look at it, is that Wisconsin can't succeed if they still try to pretend the NCAA has real authority.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Michigan cheated.
They've got a title. They still have the title.
Yeah, it wasn't stripped. Like, no, Reggie.
Ask for forgiveness later is how the Badgers have to operate going forward.
Yes. And USC had a national championship stripped. Reggie Bush had a Heisman stripped. I'm trying to think of another scenario. Oh, Todd Gurley had a 4-game suspension for selling his own autograph.
Maurice Claret had that with Ohio State. You had the shoebox incident here at Wisconsin, which is basically they got discounted shoes like every other student and every other person in the state of Wisconsin could have gotten. And they self-reported that. The whole thing. And that was at least when the NCAA had teeth. Mm-hmm. The issue I always had with the NCAA is that they were not an investigative body. Mm-hmm. It had to basically land on their doorstep, which required journalists or self-reporting. And so the NCAA would just sit there and slap your hand when they found out you did something bad. They had no way of finding out if you did anything bad, which is why all those bad things happened from all those other schools that nobody ever found out about, because nobody was reporting it / nobody was turning themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the NCAA is at. And now that's where it was. Now it's feckless. This is just one more step towards some other system where these colleges operate on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, for what you want, that's the better outcome. Because in no world is in the NFL is Sorsby playing.
No.
Because there's hard and fast rules. I guarantee part of this decision was based on how can I enforce rules with a system that has no agreement on what any of the rules are.
Yeah, and that's why now it's going to, since the NCAA literally cannot do anything about Sorsby playing, it's going to come down to, you see the Big 12 Conference,
yep.
They're having a call today with all their athletic directors to decide, are they going to play Texas Tech if they allow Sorsby to play? The Big 10 said they're not allowed to schedule Texas Tech in any sport anymore. Like, it now it has to come down to the individual conferences, the individual schools, to enforce anything.
And what's going to happen then? Because this is public, if I'm Texas Tech, I'm suing. I'm suing all these schools.
Yeah.
If I'm the basketball team, I don't care what the football team did. It doesn't affect us at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're worse than Alabama. We're worse than all these other schools. I mean, so like, The whole thing is hypocritical.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some schools that don't have as much red marks against them as maybe Texas Tech does currently, or some of the other schools. But come on, like, what are we doing here? So now everyone is a saint. So the whole thing is ridiculous, and I think two things I've come away with is, one, mm-hmm. the NCAA is not going to stand around for long.
No,
it's on its way out. And then two, until it's gone, the college football, it's really the courts that are going to decide anything. And going forward, if I'm running a program, I'm asking for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, Badger fans, if you go win a national championship in basketball this year and someone's go see what Giannis is up to.
Yeah, literally. Like,
if you can play in March. You got the tournament.
The funny tweets from Tyrann Mathieu saying, like, hey, I got 2 years of college eligibility left. Like, let me come back and play.
What does eligibility even matter?
That's the thing.
Make them say no is really what I'm thinking.
If Colton Joseph struggles at the Packers bye week, just bring Jordan Love down. What? What? They're not going to stop it.
Russell Wilson calls games on Sunday now. Like, yeah. He could play on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Russell Wilson's available. It's so absurd that this is where we're at with college athletics. It's the wild, wild west. It's a cliche at this point, but there are literally zero rules. And I'm actually curious to see how far teams take it with those, like, crazy circumstances, because I wouldn't be shocked if someone tried it.
Why not? I mean, and it goes back to greed. Mm-hmm. The NCAA was greedy. They didn't want to give the players anything, and now they've lost everything. And that's it. Like, that's where we're at. And I will always go back to the NCAA's greed and the school's greed. I feel bad for Badger fans. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad for the administration trying to figure out how to navigate this. I don't feel bad for any other schools trying to navigate this. I feel bad for the fans. And I don't feel bad for the players, but I'm sure the players would love a system that allowed them to get paid what their value was, which was the original idea, and allow them to have their own endorsement deals on the side, which is what NIL is supposed to be, which mm-hmm. it is not at all. It is pay for play. But again, back to greed, these schools don't want to have these athletes as employees because that would be a way around yep. this. You could do that. Mm-hmm. No, they don't want to do that. So this is the system we live in.
Yeah, and there has to be a middle ground between a UCF kicker not being able to operate a YouTube channel on the side because it brings in money, and then Brendan Sorsby being able to play after gambling on his own team.
Not anymore.
Guess not.
All right, let's talk about recruiting. So the Badgers are continuing to climb up the recruiting class ranks. That's why we have Nick Osen joining us in a little bit here, Riley. But mm-hmm. where are they sitting currently?
Right now, they are sitting. Actually, this is breaking news. Our fans will be watching this on a Thursday, but as we're recording this on a Tuesday, the Badgers actually just picked up another 3-star safety right before we started recording. But as it stands right now, I don't know if that bumps them up higher, but they are currently ranked 14th in the country for their class of 2027, according to 247 Sports. That's right behind Ohio State and right in front of Auburn.
So I'm going to ask this question of why now? Why all of a sudden are the Badgers recruiting the way that we think we thought that Luke Fickell would recruit every year? Mm-hmm. This is finally the year. Is it finally good in-state recruits? The coach staff finally figured out how to recruit this area? Or is it money? Is it all of them? Like, why? Why do you think this is happening?
I think it's a combination of all those factors, not to totally hedge here. But I remember, I go back, Josh Pate said this on Josh Pate's college football show just, I believe, a couple of months ago, that he believes if Luke Fickell took everything he learned from the past 3 years and started over, he just started fresh at Wisconsin now, knowing everything that he has gleaned, he would be incredibly successful and he'd be just fine. He'd be able to hit the ground running. Obviously, he can't go back and do that, but I do think Fickell and this coaching staff have learned significantly more now about how Wisconsin operates, how the high schools operate, the areas they want to attack recruiting. I just read today Luke Fickell has made Chicago and the Chicagoland area a massive priority in recruiting. So they've learned more. We've heard from Ted Kellner, the spending is gone from the lower third of the Big Ten. Now he expects them to be in the upper third. That seems to be reflected as well. They're clearly spending more money. You're not flipping a recruit from LSU. You're not beating out the Nebraskas of the world if you don't have the money to do it, which Wisconsin now is clearly being able to do. And the shocking thing is, and this is what I'm still scratching my head at. I'm not mad. I'm very happy. But coming off the worst season in 30 years for Wisconsin football, they're able to turn it around this year. I feel like it's got to be more than just learning and money. Like, it seems to me that these recruits are buying what this coaching staff is selling moving forward.
I think in this case, the current system works in the Badgers' favor. They have money, and it's a portal era. If Luke Fickell's not here next year, if you didn't get the playing time you wanted, you can go somewhere else. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, the coaching staff is putting in their work, and they're doing the work, and they're finding, hopefully, the right players. I can't sit here with a straight face and be like, all right, now we're going to be great because we have all these 4-star guys when we used to rip, like, Miami. Be like, all they do is pull 5-star guys, and they think they're great, and they didn't develop them. Mm-hmm. So, to me, the most important step is coming up. And I think we've seen signs. especially on defense, that the Badgers are able to kind of develop some of these guys, even through the season. Mm-hmm. Posa, Catalano being some guys that develop through the year. Because that's honestly how I have to look at development, is how are they developing during the season.
Because you only have 1 year guaranteed with everyone.
Maybe it's obviously you got these guys for 2 years, but that's, I mean, not with those two specifically, but that's mm-hmm. always up in the air. You're always recruiting your own players. But for me, I care less about the portal players coming in. I care less about the high school athletes. My big thing this year is how are you going to develop the players that have arrived on this campus? Because that's going to help recruiting more than anything else. Is mm-hmm. these guys are coming next year. So it means it is far. I mean, nothing against the players. I just look at where the Badgers are at. It is a coin flip mm-hmm. if these players will be here next year, just because we don't know what the program's going to do. But if Luke Fickell can build off what he did last year on an easier schedule and show true development, which I think is one of the underreported but also bigger issues with this program, is you're not seeing development year over year. And some of that's because guys are leaving, but still, figure out how to keep them then. Mm-hmm. But for me, this upcoming class, but more importantly, this year's class and last year's class, I want to see the development through the season and year over year.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to look for if you're a Badgers fan this year, because while this does get me really fired up and it's great to be able to dunk on Minnesota and Iowa and all these other schools where it's like, look at what we're doing after our worst season in 30 years and look what you're able to do after a 9-4 campaign, after beating the brakes off us this year. Like, come on. Like, this rocks for us. But ultimately, and Tausch said this when I asked him about it last week on Wilde and Tausch. Or no, it was yesterday on Jim, Matt, and Molly, I think. Can't remember. But I talked to Tausch about this. And he said that ultimately, as awesome as this is, it comes down to this year. We can all get excited about how great this class is. But if you don't see the results on the field this year, it doesn't matter. Because if Fickell doesn't win 7-8 games, he's going to be gone. All the recruits are going to be gone. It's getting blown up and we're starting over. But on the flip side, if Fickell gets 8, 9, 10 wins, and this is how he's recruiting coming off a 4-8 season, the sky is the limit, it seems to me, for Luke Fickell when it comes to recruiting for the Wisconsin Badgers and how high he can take this.
Yeah, I mean, he's finally recruiting in a way that I think we thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, he's getting the right guys. I feel like his first year here, he had a decent recruiting class. How many of those players are still left around? I don't even know. So it is such an interesting and different game mm-hmm. than it used to be, because you just don't know who's going to be around. So I it's better than the alternative.
Yep.
And I want to give the Badgers their flowers for it. But for me, it's still always going to be prove it to me. So this class coming up, the one we're talking about here, is not playing this season. So it's the one that's coming in, which mm-hmm. also is pretty good in its own right. And there are some transfer portal players that I'm excited about. So that following class, next year's class, and classes going forward are only going to get better, Riley, to your point, if the Badgers start winning. And turning mm-hmm. guys pro would be the other thing.
Yeah. And I think even just this year, it feels like a building block year, like a laying the foundation year, which obviously, again, we expected this right when Luke Fickell came in. Obviously, it didn't happen. Past is the past. But this year, especially in my mind, when it comes to the in-state recruiting too, now they have 21 players after the safety they just brought in. So, but before that, before about an hour ago on Tuesday, they had 20 members in the class of 2027, and 10 of them, half of this class, was from the state of Wisconsin. And to me, that feels like a foundational piece for a successful Wisconsin Badgers program. Like, you have to win in state. And Eric Mateos, offensive line coach, tweeted this out, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, claiming that the wall has been rebuilt around the state of Wisconsin, specifically for offensive linemen. But regardless, the proof's in the pudding. Half this class is from Wisconsin. 8 of the top 10 recruits from the state of Wisconsin are going to be Badgers. That is huge. That is awesome. And I look forward to seeing how they develop, because this feels like how you're supposed to build a Wisconsin football team.
Do you guys feel like we will see a majority of this 2027 recruiting class at the University of Wisconsin?
Yes. Because I believe that Fickell's going to turn it around this year and have a successful year and then continue to build off this. Again, it comes back to, do you think Fickell is going to have a successful 2026? Because if he doesn't, he's gone. If he does, he's here.
No. I think he wins 7 games. But if the AD process goes the way it should, which is you're just going to bring in whomever based on without a care in the world what they think about anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an AD, Fickell has to make it undeniable that he deserves his job, which is probably, in my opinion, closer to 9 to 10 wins. I think this program will look better next year. I think there's reasons to think that they'll get back to a bowl game this upcoming season. I don't know if Fickell has earned enough goodwill overall, because he'll likely have a losing record here at Wisconsin, just unless he has that 10-win season, 9-10 win season. And then it's undeniable you have to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also the other side of it. If Fickell comes in and wins 9-10 games, he might say, I want out. And go find another job because it didn't work here. Maybe it's starting to work now, but that's the other real possibility, just like with players. So depending on who the new AD is, there's a very good chance that person is just going to want their own person here. So Luke Fickell could go out and win 7 games and be close in the other ones, and we could feel good about the direction of the program. But also the new AD is going to come in and say, I get all that, but I want my person in charge.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unfair expectation for fans or the new athletic director. 7 wins with this schedule and this Big Ten, even if you're close in the other 5, doesn't feel like enough to me. You have to be able to beat those teams that are on the same level as you, the Iowas, the Minnesotas, the Nebraskas of the world, the old Big Ten West, even a team like USC that has criminally underwhelmed in the Lincoln Riley era. Like, that's a team you should beat.
Yep.
UCLA with a new head coach, Bob Chesney from JMU. Like, that's a team you have to beat. I think there's only 3 games on the schedule, or really 2, Notre Dame and Penn State, that you can immediately chalk up as they're probably losing those games.
Fantastic upsets if they
exactly
pull them off.
Yep. But so I think if you're the new athletic director and you're looking for 9 or 10 wins for Luke Fickell to be undeniable for him to stick around, I don't hate those expectations. I think this Badgers team has the ability to rise to those expectations and succeed, but I don't think they're unfair regardless.
All right, let's hit the clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
All right, let's get to the clip of the week here.
Caroline Harvey. We got to have a conversation about Caroline Harvey. Because, okay, again, this ties into the AmFam Championship Celebrity Foursome.
Yeah.
Caroline Harvey, 3-time national champion.
3-time.
National Player of the Year this year.
Mm-hmm.
2-time Junior Gold Medal Award winner in the junior tournaments. Also an Olympic silver medalist in 2022, gold medalist in 2026,
that's
and she was named the MVP of the Olympics.
I mean, that's a lot to be 23 years
old. And that is, she is done with college. Her college career came to an end like a month ago.
Yeah, that's...
If you're saying greatest resume for a Wisconsin Badgers athlete... As a college athlete, I don't think anyone can top that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think Ron Dane can top that. Yeah. I don't think Frank Kaminsky can top. I don't think anybody can top what Caroline Harvey did during her 4 years at Wisconsin.
I mean,
I don't disagree when you make it specific to their time at Wisconsin. Not even just what you do at Wisconsin, because obviously gold medals and things like that. But during your time frame at Wisconsin, I have a hard time disagreeing with Jesse, which is a bummer, because you can look at, like, Jonathan Taylor is great, but, like,
yep,
obviously a lot of the pride is what he's done afterwards. Same with Russell Wilson, Joe Thomas. I mean, Pat Richter's interesting because...
Mm-hmm. 3-sport athlete.
Yep.
And the AD component.
Yep. You got J.J. Watt, again, obviously great here, but then left. And then, obviously, Melvin Gordon, Ron Dane. Mm. And so, Decker, Kaminsky, they're all... had obviously great college careers. They didn't win to the level that she won in college. And then you account for the gold medals, too, in her college time and player of the year. I mean, she's kind of the equivalent of if Frank had his career, but the Badgers had won.
Won the national championship.
At least one.
Yeah.
But honestly, in this case, like 2 and a gold medal. But I think there's a really strong case that Harvey is the most accomplished Wisconsin Badger ever when you like for their time at Wisconsin.
See, I think there's definitely an argument to be made for Caroline Harvey, but let me just first read through Ron Dayne's accolades.
Right.
So, 1999 Heisman Trophy winner. That's equal to the Patty Kazmir Award. You have the NCAA all-time leading rusher when he graduated. He was the best running back in college football history, you could argue, when he graduated. And he still should be the all-time leading rusher if they counted his bowl yards, which for some reason, inexplicably, they don't. It's ridiculous. Donnell Pumphrey should not have the record. That's absurd. Two-time Rose Bowl champion, which... for that era of Wisconsin football, like, they were close to competing for a national championship, and that was pretty close to a national championship, like one tier down. Rose Bowl MVP, Walter Camp Award winner, Maxwell Award winner, Doak Walker Award winner, consensus All-American, was arguably the most accomplished running back in college football history when he graduated. And college football history extends over a century ago. Like, there... he is one of the best in such a wide array of people. Thousands. Like, not disrespecting Caroline Harvey whatsoever, but Ron Dayne had an absolutely legendary career. And if you don't buy that argument, you can look at another Wisconsin women's hockey player, Casey O'Brien. You could argue she had a better career than Caroline Harvey. She's Wisconsin's all-time leading scorer, men or women. Just in Wisconsin hockey history, 274 career points. She won three national championships. She won the 2025 Patty Kazmir Award 2 years ago. And she's one of, also one of the most decorated players in women's hockey history. So, like, she's not even a consensus number one in Wisconsin women's hockey. So I get where Jesse's coming from. Caroline Harvey, undoubtedly Wisconsin legend, probably a top five resume in Wisconsin Badgers athletics history, but I'd put Ron Dayne number one, and I think Casey O'Brien has an argument that she is number one in women's hockey.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and rail against Ron Dayne.
Yeah.
I think what we can say is that women's hockey is the most successful program at the University of Wisconsin.
And I don't think it's close, really,
yeah,
at all.
They are outstanding.
Yeah, and speaking of hockey, not women's hockey, I actually saw Mike Hastings this morning at a gas station. I was filling up, getting ready to go on a vacation later today, getting my breakfast sandwich and whatnot. Mike Hastings just walks out. Give him a little nod, flash the W, and he nods back, gives a salute, and I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. National championship coach, Mike Hastings.
I love it. All right, let's get to the portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, guys, taking a look into the Twitter portal. Last week, Russell Wilson, former Badgers quarterback, announced his retirement in the NFL, so we'll go to Russell Wilson first. Greatest quarterback in Wisconsin football history. I don't care that he only played one season for the Badgers in 2011. His number 16 needs to be retired in Camp Randall Stadium. Russell Wilson had one hell of a career. Guys, do you think it's possible to have number 16 retired for Russell Wilson?
I think so. My initial reaction is yes. I want to look up which numbers have been retired. I know 35 for Alan Amici, 33 for Ron Dayne. Has 99 been retired for Watt? I don't think so. Like,
and Russell didn't reach any. Like, what awards did he win?
Did he win the Maxwell Award?
I don't think
Did he win a... what's the award for the best quarterback?
I thought Monte got all the awards.
Danny O'Brien. Davey O'Brien.
Yeah. Former Badger.
Yeah.
Best Badger Award. Best Badger Quarterback Award. So, I mean, no. Because it's a high bar. He's obviously had an amazing season. But they won the Big Ten title game. So the Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Would you consider him for the UW Athletics Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But it's just, there's levels to this, and he's not at that level. Like, honestly, Monte Ball's got a stronger case.
Yeah, taking a look at these numbers. So it's 31, pardon me, Alan Amici. 35, Dave Schreiner. 39, Pat Harder. 54, Jim Bakken. 80 for Pat Richter. 99 for Joe Rudolph and J.J. Watt.
Okay.
So, yeah, All-American Alan Ameche, first Heisman Trophy winner, three-time All-American Pat Harder. Jim Bakken set multiple NCAA kicking records. That's pretty cool. Pat Richter, self-explanatory. And J.J. Watt and Joe Rudolph. So Ron Dane, 33, actually is not retired.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor, 23, has been retired. Joe Thomas's number isn't retired. I think you got to retire 33 and 72 before you retire 60.
Also, I'm not a big fan of retire. Like, you let the guys wear the numbers. At some point, whether it's an asterisk or you just put them in the Ring of Honor, to actually retire their number, like, I don't say it's too many, but it really should be the cream of the crop.
Yeah, the elite of the elite.
Yes.
I would have to agree. Moving on, this kind of ties into what you guys talked about earlier in the show. Hear me out. LSU should sign Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase on their NFL bye week. Let them play. NCAA declares it illegal, but just find a Louisiana judge to file an injunction. Or an injunction. Wow, words are not wording right now. Injunction. Rules are just pesky suggestions now, kind of like words. Do you guys think, I don't want to say it's likely, but is this possible?
Well, clearly,
I want to see someone try. That's what I want.
That'd be awesome.
And here, it won't be Joe Burrow. It'll be, I'm trying to think of, like, the guys I think of as more like those old era quarterbacks who were like good college quarterbacks that just.
AJ McCarron.
Yeah.
Yeah, get someone from like the UFL back in college.
Right. Or the, who's the Vanderbilt quarterback?
Diego Pavia.
Pavia, yeah. Yeah, this is right up his alley.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Like, he's on an NFL practice squad. Yeah, so, like, this is where.
Maybe like a Tanner Mordecai, too.
Yes.
I feel like this would benefit him.
Like, especially those who maybe got had injuries and dinked around a little bit. You got other people, a 20-something year old playing college football. You know, why not?
Yeah.
And, like, that's more. You know what I really want to see, though, is I think the movie's called Necessary Roughness. And stars Scott Bakula and Kathy Ireland. It's about a program that got the death penalty. Texas State, the Armadillos, they are reinstated. They bring back a coach, and they end up trying to, like, put together a ragtag roster of, like, students who want to be athletes. And the guy they get, I'm not going to remember the quarterback's name, but Scott Bakula's a character, but, like, he quit football after a year because his dad died and he had to take over the family farm.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 3 years eligibility left. Like, a 35-year-old quarterback comes out there and he just gets his butt kicked because the team's terrible, but he has some throws. They get their win. It's, you know, it's one of the, it tries to be, it's a comedy, but it's also tries to be realistic of, like, yeah, they got, like, one win on, like, a Hail Mary at the end of the, you know, like, that was their Super Bowl. But, like, that's what I want. Like, I want something like that. I want someone from back in the day who's got eligibility who's going to come on out and get out there and sling the pill.
Get, like, a Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Was a big prospect coming out of BYU, really flamed out with the Jets, not surprising whatsoever. But bring him back. Like, he'd be a stud in college again.
Yeah.
He'd be fantastic. You take any guy that has multiple years of NFL experience, even in a backup role, they're going to shred college, like, defenses.
Yeah, Jim Sorgi would, you know, the best job in the world being Peyton Manning's backup there. Like, that's what you want.
Exactly. Get Tyrod Taylor. Bring him off the Packers, backup role. Like,
you know, I mean, I feel like Stave. He was with the Vikings a little bit.
Yeah.
Just that little extra coaching.
Jim, you mentioned Sorgi. Wouldn't it be cool to have Jack, who's a 4-star, commit to the Badgers right now? You get Jack and Jim Sorgi in the quarterback room.
Yeah. Jack backs up his dad, Jim Sorgi, who's the starting quarterback for the Badgers again.
But that's what I want. I want an old. I want someone who maybe their career got ended early, but now they're healthy. And, you know, like, you see those movies, was it Dennis Quaid in the pitching movie?
Yeah. What's the name of it? That's not Bull Durham, is it?
No, he's portraying a guy who was pitcher for the Tampa Rays.
Is it like The Dream or something?
I can't remember. But anyways, it's based off a true story. I don't know how much of the movie is true based off the true story, but something like that. I want that. Or maybe even a Josh Hamilton story. Someone who was like down and out. Their college career was ruined, but now they're 27. Their life's back together. And, like, they go out there and, like, Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Johnny Manziel.
Get Manziel back in here. Johnny Manziel, Wisconsin Badger. Like, yeah. I agree with Jim. I just want to see someone try and see what happens. Because then it's probably going to be fine. It's going to work. And then just all hell will break loose. And it'll be hilarious.
All right, moving on to the final one. Some Badgers basketball recruiting news. Jaylen Brown, a four-star top 100 guard from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, commits to Wisconsin, is the highest-rated in-state recruit since Sam Decker. Do you guys feel like this could be a big moment for Greg Gard going forward with in-state recruiting?
Yes, worth noting, highest-ranked in-state commit, not actual recruit.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a different. I mean, I'm still very happy about Jaylen Brown. Better to get a good player. Here's my concern. I don't know how good Freitag was or Freitag, but like, it's not that Gard can't develop these guys. It's not that these guys might not be good. It's just that in college basketball, more than any of the sports, I feel like you'd rather have this guy transfer back to Wisconsin after 2 years somewhere else. Maybe, hopefully, because the thing is, he has to come in and play immediately and want to be here for more, or he'll leave. And that's not a Greg Gard problem. That's not a Wisconsin problem. That's a, hey, this kid wants to continue to try to advance their career, and they have opportunities to do so. So I hope Brown shows up, plays well enough that he's in the rotation at some level year one, so the Badgers can keep him for multiple years.
Yep, I agree. I'm excited. I love that Greg Gard is finally able to nail one of these top in-state recruits, because that, unfortunately, it's been a struggle. You have Iowa State just picking our pocket left and right when it comes to the best in-state recruits. So it's very encouraging for me. I hope it helps the Badgers turn a corner when it comes to recruiting in the state of Wisconsin. Maybe we can ask Nick Osen about that coming up next. But regardless, I agree with Jim. Need to see him play, because you just never know these days. But I'm excited. I'm happy. Hope it signals a turning point.
Sleep better with a new Beautyrest mattress from Steinhoffels. Right now, when you upgrade to a king adjustable base set, you'll get a free foundation or $500 instant savings. Plus, with Steinhoffels 60-month financing, Queen Beautyrest mattresses start at just $32 a month. And here's a bonus. Stop in and test rest a Beautyrest black mattress and receive a $20 gas card. Shop in-store or online at Steinhoffels.com. Steinhoffels, Wisconsin's mattress leader. Nick Osen, next.
Your home upgrade starts now at Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale. Shop all the latest styles for every room. Save an extra $100 when you spend $9.99. Save $200 when you spend $19.99. And save $300 when you spend $29.99. From sofas and sectionals to beds, dining, and more, this is the time to buy. Shop now and save big during Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale. Shop in-store or at Steinhoffels.com.
All right, we are thrilled to be joined by Nick Osen from 24/7 Sports. And Nick, obviously a pretty exciting fan, or pretty exciting time to be a fan of the Badgers, and probably exciting for your work as well, as the Badgers are on a heater with recruiting and football.
Guys, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me back, of course. And, you know, this is one of, really in terms of high school recruiting, guys, the best runs that I've really gotten to cover. I mean, we had to, you know, kind of adjust our show time a little bit because there was another commitment that I had to cover. So it's been, I think at this point, 9 commits in the last 9 days, certainly keeping me busy. And at this time, guys, sitting at the 13th highest rated class in the country, but one of their most recent commitments, Jack Tabbert, still has to get rated. So that could even be around like 11 or 12. Obviously, a lot of these other schools are still adding players, and we'll see how things adjust going forward. But still, right now, really, really impressive stuff.
Yeah, Nick, looking at the recruiting rankings, and they're top 15 right now, when Tabbert gets tabulated, could end up near the top 10. But obviously, you look at some of the big schools underneath them, like in Auburn, a Texas Tech, who are sitting at a much lower recruit total. Could see them hopping the Badgers. But even if the Badgers fall to maybe like a top 25 class, like, what changed for Luke Fickell and the Badgers when it comes to recruiting? Because they've had fine classes the past few years, but this seems to be different this year.
Yeah, Riley, it's a really good question. I know it's one that, you know, kind of some of the fans have really asked me as well this offseason too. And I think it is basically three things that I've kind of broken it down into. Number one, I've told you guys about, you know, culture. I do think it has been pretty good the last couple of years, but I think for really one of the first times you've seen young guys get on the field early. Obviously, two players I know you guys have talked about a lot, Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano. So they got on there. They're young. They've got some Wisconsin ties, obviously, with Coop. Post is a huge household name now. They've come back, and they've kind of been these cultural leaders, so they can see what happens there. Number two, you know, I think it's dishonest not to kind of acknowledge that there has been an infusion of, you know, more financial help and money this offseason. Obviously, that played a huge, huge role in the portal. But I do think it has helped lock down some of these top guys a little bit faster, earlier, maybe over some top competition. And then I think maybe as much as those guys, this in-state class, which is now up to, I think, 10 in-state commits, just the guys that are coming to the Badgers program, it's been really strong. They're a tight-knit group. They're very well-varied in terms of different positions. And I think they've played a huge role in just guys wanting to come to Madison and really bond and kind of turn this thing around.
So it's fair to say Wisconsin's winning recruiting battles that they didn't win a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I think one that they certainly did win a couple years back was like a guy like Mason Posa, but they're doing more of those this cycle. I agree. When you think of Yazin Zion, who they got last weekend, defensive line, which as we all know is a premium position, they beat out schools like LSU, Florida, Oklahoma, Miami. Like, that's really impressive. You know, Makai Williams at corner. Like, some of these spots that you're maybe not always going to get the top guys here to Madison or get these types of talents in the state of Wisconsin, they've done that. So, no question, Jim, legitimate recruiting battles. I think really impressive, especially because, you know, we can be honest, some of these other schools I just mentioned have had more success the last few years. So, the fact that Luke Fickell, these recruiting staffers and the staff are able to bring them in, it's really strong. And now, obviously, you know, in this day and age, you got to win games, you got to hold them to signing day and see what happens.
Going back to in-state recruiting, which you mentioned, Eric Mateos just tweeted it out. I don't know if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, but that the wall has been rebuilt around the state of Wisconsin, specifically for offensive linemen. How has this staff gone about rebuilding that wall? Have they developed better relationship with these high school coaches? Is just a great class? Like, how have they gone about rebuilding the wall around the state?
Yeah, Riley, that's kind of a huge story, right? That, you know, even in this great class, that is the base of it. I mean, about half of this class really is. So I think if you really spoke with Wisconsin, I do think they've done a little bit of a better job at building some of these relationships. I will always say I think a little bit of that was overblown just because you're also not going to get classes in the state every year with this many power conference guys, which is understandable, but they've made more of a point of it. And then again, I think it's also guys like Ethan McIntosh, Isaac Miller, like these guys that jumped in early have then kind of taken on these roles of, hey, jump starting and wanting to be almost the faces of kind of this foundation in this program, Riley. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I think if people say just one thing, you know, it's not necessarily accurate, but I would say there's been more of a point in terms of connecting with alumni and people just kind of closer to the state and the university the last, I'd probably say, year and a half.
So with this recruiting class, it's very exciting, but what does Fickell, do you think, have to do this year to actually be able to keep and coach these kids? With a new AD coming in, they've been descending in wins. The program has to turn around. I kind of set the bar that they need to be closer to 9 or 10 wins for a new AD to come in and say, I'm good with this, because look, if I'm coming into a job, I want my person, and maybe they become best friends and they believe in the program. But if my job's on the line as an AD, I want someone that I handpicked who I think is going to be great at it, and it could be Fickell. But I think 7 wins, he's probably going to be SOL, and the Badgers are going to move on. That 9-10 win number is kind of that number that I see for Fickell, that he'll be able to stay and then reap the benefits of this great recruiting class.
Yeah, Jim, it's a big question. Obviously, I think when you look at the schedule, look, I mean, technically, you know, 7 wins would be better than the last couple of years. But like you said, the schedule is fairly, you know, beatable, you'd like to say. They did spend a ton in the portal, and you want to see kind of a consistent trajectory. So I have kind of my doubts of how maybe quickly they would make a move that you're kind of alluding to if some of this recruiting and stuff stays together. However, if you want to maybe remove, you know, any doubt and just feel like you're in a really, really good spot, unless you get 7 with a marquee win over maybe Notre Dame or Penn State, I would probably say 8 or so. I mean, I think 8-4 is a pretty good season with the chance to bring back. I think it'd be like 75-80% of the expected key players, because there are guys with a lot of eligibility left. You've seen these classes coming in. I think that the connections with, like I said, alumni, people around the state have all been better. But as we know, Jim, you're exactly right. Wins and losses are the most important thing. And the new AD will probably want to have a say. So I personally think if they can get to 8, you're sitting well, looking to get back into a bowl game and see what happens.
Nick, building off of that, we spent a lot of time together at spring practices analyzing this new crop of talent and the roster the Badgers are going to put on the field come this fall. Are there any players in particular or a specific aspect of the 2026 Wisconsin Badgers that get you particularly excited?
Yeah, it's a great question, Riley. I think first and foremost, you know, kind of some of those aspects that we've become really used to in Wisconsin football. I'm excited to see this running back room. You've got, obviously, Abu Sama there. He brought in Brian Jackson. I think Darion Dupree's taking a nice leap. And then the offensive line. I think that they showed flashes in terms of pass pro, really, the last year or so. There were some injuries, but the run game was not what we're expecting and, you know, kind of what we're used to. And I think Eric Mateos, you mentioned some of the tweets, Riley, like, he takes a lot of pride in the run game, and I don't think he's going to mess around if guys aren't up to snuff. I don't think that they're going to be playing a lot. So I'm pretty confident in those aspects. And then just obviously kind of some of the defense, especially the back end. I'm not saying it's the best. We need to see it, kind of what happens when games come in September, October. But I think from top to bottom in terms of corners and safeties, it could maybe be the deepest secondary we've seen in Madison in 5+ years.
All right, well, on that, like, give me a couple players that Badger fans haven't seen, you know, the last few years that you're expecting, whether it's someone who's been buried in the depth chart or a portal transfer or a true freshman. Just give me a couple guys that Badger fans are going to be pleasantly surprised about this year.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple on each side, Jim. I think Kevin Haywood, obviously, we all expected to see him last year, the unfortunate injury. He's looked really good. He's obviously healthy now. I think he's going to play a huge role. Abu Sama, I mentioned the transfer from Iowa State. He missed a little bit of time early in camp, kind of a minor hamstring injury or something, but then he was back, and you saw exactly what many of us saw at Iowa State for several seasons and why I believe he can be an NFL back if he continues to develop under Jaden Everett. And then defense, people know about Posa and Catalano, of course. I'll give a couple names that, you know, maybe the casual fan doesn't know as much. Nick Clayton, I don't think he's necessarily going to start, but with his pass rushing ability, how he's grown in the run defense and just kind of adding muscle mass as well, I think he's going to be somebody to watch. And in the secondary, I will say Jameer Scott. Riley, you know, mentioned obviously us being at camp together. I felt like he was a standout nearly every day of practice, whether he's with that top group of corners or second group. He's taken a huge leap, a good fickle recruit from high school. I think those are 4 or 5 names to definitely watch out for.
Yeah, I agree with Jameer Scott. He was making plays. Dude's a ball hawk. He was fun to watch. And you also bring up the depth of the secondary. I think the leadership, too, provided by a guy like Javen Robinson is going to be really helpful. Senior transfer from Oklahoma State, I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Nick.
Arizona State.
Okay, thank you. I knew it was a state school in there. Thank you. That's why we have you on. I guess going back to recruiting here briefly, I've noticed on your board and just in general, like, we have to give the assistant coaches a lot of credit here too. Like a new guy coming in like Adi Confessor, EJ Whitlow on the defensive line, Eric Mateos, we've already mentioned. out of all the assistant coaches, whether they're new or returning, are there any that have particularly stuck out to you as a great recruiter or someone who's really made strides this offseason?
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate you saying that, because on the boards, I always make a point of that. You know, people don't always know who kind of some of the main recruiters are. I would say, I think a returner that I think has had a phenomenal class is Jack Cooper. He's now got three safeties in the fold. Obviously, that's a pretty loaded class to really kind of bring in. I know somebody that always seems to be able to close really well is Matt Mitchell. He kind of teamed up with EJ Whitlow for Yazeen Zion, and then has two other edge recruits. And then, obviously, you know, it would just be one player at the position, all they wanted, but maybe somebody in now like Jaden Everett. He got Kingston Allen in, and he's got a couple top five running backs visiting here in the near future as well. So those are a few that come to mind. But I think overall, it's a pretty strong like recruiting staff. I think a lot of these guys have very good personalities. They're hungry. They're able to connect. A lot of them are fairly young or kind of in the middle of their careers, but not necessarily super late. So I think they're hungry, Riley. I'd probably say the majority of the staff are above average to really good recruiters.
Well, Nick, we appreciate your time. It's fantastic stuff. Thanks for hopping on and getting everyone excited about all the new players coming in for the University of Wisconsin.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me again.
Appreciate your time, Nick.
That's Nick Osen from 24/7. This has been the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.